Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live. This program is recorded.
Well, welcome to EMS Live in Wisconsin. Today is Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. It is a pleasure to have you with us today. I'd also like to welcome to the program our regular co-hosts, Patrick Ryan, Chris Anderson, and Dan Williams are all joining us today. Hello and welcome to the program.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Joe. Happy to be here.
Well, it's good to have everybody with us. Thanks for calling in today, and we look forward to bringing Mark Fredrickson into the call here in a little bit. Our topic today is the paramedic shortage here in Wisconsin. Some of you may or may not be aware of this, but ambulance services are struggling to find staff members, and typically it becomes a wage game. And there's some information that Mark is going to be sharing with us this morning. He recently wrote State EMS Director James Newland about bringing these concerns to his attention. And so we'll be chatting with Mark after our first break. So in about a couple, three, 4 minutes, we'll have Mark join us. It's great to have him join us today and offer this topic to us. I wanted to offer some time to Dan Williams. We have the Paramedic Systems of Wisconsin Conference just around the corner, starting here on September 20th in Green Bay. We're getting very close, Dan. What's the latest information you have to share with us today?
Well, we are close. Next week is the start of it, next Wednesday. Meeting with the hotel this afternoon. Lots going on, last-minute stuff that you always think you've covered, but you haven't. I'm really, really encouraged by the diverse group that we have this year. We have services that we haven't seen in a couple of years. We have services that we've never seen, and we have services sending more than one person, which is all of those things combined means our attendance is up, which is a great thing. So we're really pleased that people are continuing and hopefully finally realizing that this conference has some real value to them and that there's some value in attending. So we're really excited for next week and can't wait to get it going.
All right, terrific. Thank you very much, Dan. You always do a terrific job with the conference. Pleased to know the numbers are way up. And also during the Paramedic Systems of Wisconsin Conference on Thursday, September 21, we'll be recognizing 29 individuals nominated by their local ambulance service as Stars of Life recipients. These are individuals who have offered high-level contributions, volunteerism, and professionalism to their respective ambulance services, and we look forward to celebrating with them and recognizing these accomplishments with their local ambulance service. Again, 29 individuals named to the 2017 Wisconsin Stars of Life. You can refer to the PAW webpage at PAAW for a listing of those individuals and the ambulance service that nominated them. One individual will advance from the presentation on Thursday, September 21 in Green Bay during the awards program and be named the National Star to represent Wisconsin in Washington, D.C. with the American Ambulance Association National Stars of Life. That'll be in June of 2018. So stay tuned as we look to celebrate with our colleagues in Green Bay next week on Thursday, September 21. I wanted to offer time, too, to Patrick and Chris if you had any updates for us, anything that's top of mind.
This is Patrick. I don't have anything to contribute at this point.
No, I'm looking forward to the PSW and the Stars of Life. I think it's going to be a really great program this year. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, sounds very good. We'll be having Mark Fredrickson here join us in a couple minutes. Today's program will run about 30 minutes. It's sponsored today by Jefferson Fire and Safety, J&B Medical, and the Godfrey & Kahn Law Firm in Madison and Milwaukee. This is EMS Live in Wisconsin. We'll be back after these brief messages.
This program is sponsored by Jefferson Fire and Safety, providing high-quality equipment and service to fire, EMS, and police agencies from across Wisconsin, and manufacturer's representative for Lifeline Ambulances. Find them on the web at jeffersonfire.com. J&B Medical Supply is one of the nation's largest medical product distribution companies. With thousands of top-quality EMS products and services at better prices, J&B Medical is your only call. Order a copy of their extensive catalog at jmbmedical.com or contact Wisconsin Territory Representative Josh Thibault at 616-915-6392. That's 616-915-6392. At J&B Medical, their mission takes precedence over margins.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad, or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli. I'm pleased to have with us today our co-hosts and Patrick Ryan, Chris Anderson, Dan Williams, Larry Knuth, I see, has recently joined us. We've got a full onboard deck here today, and we'd also like to welcome Mark Fredrickson. Mark is Executive Director with Gold Cross Ambulance in Menasha, Wisconsin. Mark, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Joe. Nice to
be
here.
Sure, it's great to have you with us. You sure know how to draw a crowd. I mean, we have a full deck of co-hosts today. This is a very important topic, obviously. Each of them is ambulance directors throughout the state. You've raised a very important point, and that's hiring of staff and personnel, specifically paramedics and EMTs. What led you to write James Newland at the state EMS office with your concerns?
Well, I can tell you, Gold Cross, you know, I've been here for 28 years, and we've always been blessed with having, a full roster of employees. And over the years, I've noticed that just somewhat dwindling. And when I say that, you know, our part-time roster, you'd almost have to work at Gold Cross for 4 or 5 years to get a full-time job. Well, that is not the case anymore today, Joe. In fact, we are hiring people right out of school, which is not only an issue for Gold Cross, I think it is for all the providers in Wisconsin, because seeing that and understanding where is the issue is what's going to be, if we're successful or not, really having the paramedics and EMTs that we need into the future.
You mentioned in the letter to Mr. Newland that there were some factors that you believed were creating the problem. There were two of them that you pointed out. One was the technical college, and the other is ambulance services cannot effectively recruit with the current reciprocity system. Would you mind explaining a bit more detail on, let's start maybe with the technical colleges first, and then we'll move over to the effective recruiting given, or ineffective recruiting given current reciprocity.
Sure. Well, you know, looking at the technical colleges, they are not meeting the demands of the workforce. And, you know, I'm not sure, we met with our local technical college actually last week to discuss this very topic, because, you know, when we look at the students today that are coming out of the technical college as a paramedic, there's not a high volume number, and some of them are even struggling, you know, getting through the national registry, which is something that I find very odd. And so looking at the technical colleges, even if they could produce enough for the volume of the paramedics that are needed, will not solve the problem when it comes to professional services that are providing this to communities that expect the high level of care, because you can't do it with all new paramedics. You just can't do it. You got to have a mix. And that's where the reciprocity piece comes in as well, you know, where you have to be able to replace some of the experience that we're losing. You know, when I look long term, hospitals today are hiring paramedics at a very high rate as well. So that's another competition, you know, piece that we had. Typically, fire services would be, I would say, our competition on getting paramedics. Today, that's really not the case. Hospitals certainly are hiring a lot of paramedics. Clinics are starting to do that now. I know the term community paramedics has been floated around the state for quite some years now, and I believe that's going to start growing some legs too, And we're going to have people to be able to do those positions. And so when you look at the technical college, I think, you know, looking at that, they are not producing enough, nor is some of the quality that's coming out of there is what we need. And so I'm not trying to point fingers at anybody. I'm just trying to be extremely honest. You know, when I looked at our technical college and really found out what are the requirements to become a paramedic, you know, there's no really testing of folks when they go there. So if you feel like, hey, I just want to be a paramedic, you can go in the door and you can sign up for the class and you're enrolled. I think that certainly can be a problem because who's to say that that person is going to be able to pass that national registry test or even the course, you know, when they get done.
That is correct. I noticed in your letter also that you mentioned, you know, a few years back, you could really pick and choose the candidates that came through the door. Now there's no candidates coming through the door because there's such a demand out there, a hiring demand for paramedics and EMTs. And with that brings higher signing bonuses and other incentives, and even other employers in the area or region trying to raid your ambulance service and take away your employees. That creates some interesting dynamics. What has been your experience so far around that?
Well, that's an excellent point. You know, I did bring this up to our association at one of our past meetings. You know, we only have such a pool of paramedics that not only have experience, but that are working at other agencies. And what I see happening is services are trying to get those people away from those services. Now, I know some will argue with me and say, well, you know, if you had better benefits or pay or whatever, you know, that's not going to happen. Well, that's truly not the case. I think what's happening, you know, when you look at the generations that we're dealing with in EMS today, you know, the current generation coming out, I don't know if they have that long-term feel that, hey, you know, I'm going to stay in this for a really long time. You know, that's going to be a problem. But when we start talking about saying, hey, all of us typically are paying pretty close to one another. But when we start saying a sign-on bonus, say, for instance, someone says $1,500, well, then I see another service say, well, we're going to do $25. Well, then a service will say $35. Well, where's the number? Who's going to win out of that? Eventually, someone's going to say, you know, that's as high as I'm going to go. And then that's really the standard we're setting. And so we're going to have our paramedics, you know, shopping around to say, where can I get the better deal, maybe? And not so much about looking at the long-term commitment to the organization. It's just what's in it for me in the quick term here. And we got to stop doing that. I'll tell you, when we get applications, I actually look at those to make sure that we are not taking away from neighboring services, that we're not taking. If we take some, it's because they want to come here for a career, we believe. They want to stay here for the long term. It may be for education or things of that nature. But we will not take four or five or six people from one agency because we know not only would that cripple that service, that's not the right thing to do. We got to find the solution is we got to get more people in the pool. And I think we have to work together as organizations to make that happen. And I think we can do it. You know, I think we have to focus. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
Well, I think we have to focus, you know, really on this reciprocity issue. You know, we've had an employee that came in our door here. It took him a really long time, in fact, almost 3 months, for him to get his license from, I believe it was South Dakota. We can't have that. There's no way we can have that. If we're going to be able to say, hey, we need to go to Colorado, Florida, we're going to have a hard enough time getting people here because it snows. Okay, it gets really cold here in the winter, so that's a hard niche, but I believe we can do it. I think there are places around the country that have high-level, skilled paramedics that really work in high-delivery service demand areas that we could get to come to Wisconsin for the pay that we're paying, for the benefits that we're applying. But the problem is we go out there to interview these people. We got to be able to say, hey, we can get you a license, like, right now. When you come and you park your home here in Appleton, Wisconsin, or wherever it's going to be, you're going to be able to start work right away. That currently is not the state here in Wisconsin, and we need to get that changed. We all have medical directors. We all have competent leaders in a lot of these services that need these people, and somehow we got to break that barrier wall down because I don't know how many people would have two, you know, three or even a month or 2 months worth of salary sitting around waiting to get a license and not even knowing if they're going to get it. That's a problem.
Yeah. Do you have a solution in mind that you've presented to Director Newland?
I had a sidebar conversation with him at our last board meeting, and I plan on talking with him at PSAW and also at our next meeting coming up in October, because I think there are some ideas. You know, I think there's ways that we can either accreditate services with medical directors that understand not only the law, but the requirements that's needed. You know, I think that's really key. I think if we know that we have somebody that has all the credentials that they need, and that it's a candidate that we want to get here in Wisconsin, we're going to have to work through that to say, hey, we got to be able to get these people to work, and then work with the state to get everything that they need. Because if we don't start replacing some of the experience here in Wisconsin, you know, we're going to be relying on new students coming out of the technical colleges. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We're going to have probably a lot of new paramedics, but we can't just have all new paramedics out in the system. It wouldn't be fair to the community. It's really not fair to the partners that they're working with. And we got to get some experience in here. And so that's what I'm going to do. I can tell you that. I'm going to try my hardest to say, hey, how do we break these walls down in reciprocity to get people from other states in here? That way I'm not hurting neighboring services. It's going to bring other problems with us. You know, when you bring experience in, you know, sometimes you're bringing bad habits, you know, into your system too. But, you know, I'd rather have to deal with that than worrying about, hey, are we going to have enough staffing next summer? You know, I know of other services that reached out to me and talked to me, and they were 6 and 7 and 8 people down going into the summer. That's hard to say that you're going to, it's very difficult to say you're going to run a service that way. And what happens is you start working your dedicated workforce, and you start working them too much. And then, of course, that's where you're going to get that, well, maybe if I go over here, I don't have to, you know, do so much work and things like that.
Yes, it opens up other issues. I surely want to bring in our co-host, because each of them is running an ambulance service here in Wisconsin. And Mark has definitely teed something up. What do you think, Patrick?
Well, there's definitely a change in the tide or a change in the dynamics. I think a couple of the points that we've seen here locally, the clinics, the hospitals, utilizing paramedics in different fashions. You know, we have found that there are a core that may go there thinking that might be something new and different for them, but then have found that it really isn't what they're looking for. I think another thing that we haven't talked about yet is to looking into untapped communities that may never, ever think of becoming an EMT, eventually a paramedic, and maybe even going on further in the medical field, trying to identify those folks that just because they don't know somebody who's been an EMT or a paramedic would never think of that, and trying to promote the industry as a whole with the idea that, yes, you could be this for on a career-type basis, but also it can lead you many different places within healthcare. We all know that healthcare in general is going to need more workers, you know, for the foreseeable future. We don't have enough. And I think it's a great sell to people that would never think of EMS as either a career or a stepping stone. I think we find that the people who want it, they know right away they want to become a paramedic. They're going to know where to go. They're going to find out what technical school they need to go to. But we need to try to, I think, steer some of these folks that direction that may not get that message anywhere else.
Other thoughts?
Joe, you know, Patrick brings up a pretty good point. And, it's almost like if you want to be a paramedic, it's almost like it's a secret. You know, how do you do that? Nobody knows how you do that. I mean, we get phone calls. I think we all get phone calls from people out of the blue. Hey, I want to be a paramedic. What do I have to do? And it's not easy to find that information. You don't know where to look. It's not like, you know, other careers where, you know, there are advertisements and, you know, public service messages and all that. And I think, you know, we can do a better job. But, you know, I agree with what Mark is saying, and a lot of the suggestions he's made, you know, they make sense. You know, if you have somebody that you want to hire from out of state and you feel that they're competent and you're willing to take on that liability, you know, allowing them to work for you until they get a license, I don't see a real problem with that. And, you know, the signing bonus, it got out of control. You know, it was a runaway problem. Hospitals did it for how many years? And now there are hospitals that are saying, for nurses, nurses would go around and collect money. You know, then they'd go to a different job. And there are hospitals now that are saying they'll never do that again. I just don't think it works.
Yes. Let me bring Dan Williams in. Dan has been through this, I'm sure, many times with a 40-year EMS career, also a former state EMS chief. Dan, what are some of your thoughts around the paramedic shortage and the topic that we're discussing today?
Well, thanks, Joe. I have many thoughts, probably more than what we can cover today. I'll certainly make this one of our topics and the hot topics on the PSLW agenda because it is an important topic. I predicted as far as 10 years ago that we were going to see this workforce shortage come along the pipe sometime. And, you know, here we are. And people were just saying, no, there'll always be people. And there's too many, like you said by several of the guests today, is that there's lots of competition out there. And we have to figure out a better way to do it. And Mark is absolutely correct. You cannot put in today's technical college graduate, you cannot put those people in the ambulance day one and expect that they can do the job. They don't come out of the technical college system ready to work. That's not a slam against the technical college system. It's a statement of we have to make sure that people know what they're doing in the field. They come out and they all have the textbook knowledge and they know what to do as a paramedic, but they haven't applied that for the most part because a lot of these folks coming out have not had day one of experience. So, you know, like I said, I could ramble and talk for hours on this probably because it's a huge topic. There's so many facets to it, and I think Mark's right. We can solve it, but it's not going to be easy.
That's very correct. And as we all know, in this role and responsibility, there's a lot of independent thinking that goes with it, a lot of problem solving. You have to stay close to your protocols, policies, and procedures. Some of this stuff just doesn't happen overnight. And as a new hire, there's hopefully an onboarding process versus handing them a medic kit and saying, here you go. And I know all of you do not pursue that line of hiring and orientation. But this is a big, big topic, and at some point it does need to be addressed, hopefully sooner than later, and we appreciate you bringing that up next week, Dan, at the conference. It will be interesting to gather other input on this topic. We're talking about the Wisconsin paramedic and EMT shortage. Our guest today is Mark Fredrickson. Our conversation continues after this brief break. You're listening to EMS Live in Wisconsin.
Godfrey & Kahn, a Wisconsin-based law firm, combines specific experience in numerous practice areas to provide a wide range of legal and business counseling services. The law firm is known for its core business practice and litigation, as well as providing strategic legal advice to the healthcare industry and employers. Their clients range from individuals and small businesses to government entities and large private and public national and international companies. Have a legal question? Contact attorney Thomas Shorter at Godfrey & Kahn, 877-455-2900, or find them on the web at www.gklaw.com.
Don't miss a beat of Wisconsin EMS action. Listen to EMS Live or download any previous show on demand in the archive. And now back to the program.
Welcome back to Wisconsin EMS Live. This is Joe Cavelli, and I'm pleased to be joined today by Patrick Ryan, Chris Anderson, Larry Knuth, Dan Williams. Our guest today is Mark Fredrickson. Mark, what are some other thoughts that you have around this? I know we've covered quite a bit. There's a lot more, of course, I'm sure that's out there. But any other thoughts regarding solving the hiring shortage problems?
Well, yeah, you know, I also think one thing that we did not touch on is the licensure period and what happens when somebody gets out of being a paramedic for a while and they want to get back into it. It's very cumbersome. It's very difficult for somebody to say, hey, they've gone through the whole paramedic training. Maybe something's happened in their life and they want to get back into it. Many times they have to take the whole class back over. That is not the case when a nurse becomes a nurse. They pay, I think it's $80 every 3 years, and they keep their license for as long as they want. Now, I'm not advocating something like that, but I think a two-year licensure period on paramedics it's way too short. I think especially if someone's doing this full-time, and this is what they do for their career, that they're in school a lot, and they're getting a lot of training when they're working for us in other services. I think we got to really monitor and look at that too by saying, you know what, is the licensure two-year period too cumbersome, number one, and two, is that a dissatisfier for some of the people that are really coming out of school. So I can tell you, we got a lot of people that do the bridge program into nursing so that they can, you know, really protect themselves down the road, which I think is good for them. But I think we got to look at our requirements. We got to make sure that the kids that are signing up for these classes are able to do the job. I mean, I think that's a big issue here too, but really we got to get people from other states in here. We can do it. We can get people to come to Wisconsin and love the Packers like we do, but we're not going to do it if we can't get them working right away.
Larry, I want to make sure that we get your comments on this too, and I know you've been out there. What are some thoughts that you have from Paratech Ambulance in Milwaukee?
Well, I echo a lot of what Mark had said and others. In particular, the licensing period, I agree, should be looked at for extending the relicensing. I think oftentimes people get fatigued on having to do that and begin to look at changing their career path to a different type of medical professional that does have longer licensure period or less demanding licensure period if you're an active practitioner. With regards to the VOTEC, our experience has been that they argue that they are promoting enough classes and filling classes, but we're finding that, yes, they may be holding classes, but their class participants are involved in health science programs, meaning these are pre-med students or RN, they're in RN school, and they'll never see an ambulance once they finish their EMT basic. And so they're taking up the seats that potentially could be taken by people that do aspire to work professionally in the EMS field. And then lastly, I think that knowing about this as a career path, I think we need to promote more the high school EMT programs that are out there. There's a handful, but I think we need to do many, many more and promote that in the school districts to potentially have an avenue for more staff that would enter into the EMS field.
Excellent. Thank you for your comments, Larry. Great observations, too. And I wanted to make sure in the time that we have also, which is about 4 minutes, that we have any wrap-up comments. Mark, I know this is a very involved, complex project or topic, but definitely something that can be, one, identified. We know what the issues are. You brought the facts out. It's a matter of charting a course. Where do you see things heading from here?
Well, I certainly hope that the state's willing, you know, to look at the reciprocity, which I was told by James that they're more than willing to look at that and give us some hope on being able to get experience, you know, outside of Wisconsin back into here. Because Dan's correct, you cannot put the pressure of that on brand new paramedics and expect them to perform the way somebody does that's been doing it for 10 years. You know, I think our association has been doing a good job at least talking about this. I think we need to talk to one another about saying, hey, maybe the issue isn't taking your employees. Let's find a solution together. And I think our association is going to help, you know, help us maybe brand what paramedics look like in the future. High school's a great idea. But again, let's not lose the focus of experience. We got to somehow retain our people, and how does that look too? So I'm encouraged. I think, you know, we have some bright people that are in the industry that know this is the problem that I think will, you know, get their hands dirty along with a lot of other people to help make this process better. So I'm encouraged that I think we will find success.
I know you're vice president with the state EMS advisory board. Has this been discussed at the board level?
It has been a little bit, but it's going to be talked about a lot more. Like I said, the letter was the first piece, and I think from there, you know, October, certainly I'm going to bring it up in October, and maybe we'll get a committee there at least exploring some of the options too.
I think that'd be an excellent start to addressing it, or at least digging into it and more or less formalize it. That way it's in public view, it can be contributed to by the EMS community, and you can really dig into this. I think that'd be an excellent, excellent start, Mark. I encourage you to do that. That'd be good. Good starting point. Well, I appreciate very much you sharing this topic with us and bringing it forward, sharing it with Director Newland with the State EMS office, sharing it with the PAW Board of Director members, which I know you're a part of, and also at the state level. Those are all excellent points of entry. Patrick, Larry, Chris had to drop off, but Patrick and Larry, any other closing comments? Or Dan, I'm sorry.
Mark, just appreciate your raising the point, and definitely something we need to talk about and work through. We're all feeling the pinch, and we need to work together to try to come with some solutions.
Dan, I do have you live now also, if you have any closing comments.
Just a follow-up on the fact that, you know, this is a topic we do need to talk about, and I think we've opened the door now, and it's now for us to figure out how we make it better, because we've always done that in EMS. We've had a problem, figured out a way to make it better, and we've grown. So it's just another challenge for all of us. I think we just have to figure out what's the best way of doing it without making the system go backwards and move it forward in a positive way. So good topic.
Larry, anything?
No, I just appreciate Mark's focus on this topic, and particularly his position on the board. We'll keep it abreast of the discussions how to improve EMS.
Okay, very good. Thank you all for participating in today's podcast. Very much appreciated. Excellent topic. Mark, we sure invite you back once you have some more information to share, once you see some movement happening, anything that we can do to support your efforts. Thank you, though,
Thank
for the topic and information.
Appreciate
Pleasure
it.
To have you. You're welcome. Pleasure to have you with us. The next EMS Live in Wisconsin program is going to be Tuesday, October 10, starting at 9. We don't have a guest lined up yet, but we'll surely post it on the PAW website at paaw.us. EMS Live is streamed live via the phone and the internet the second and fourth Tuesday every month. Today's program, of course, was recorded and is available for on-demand playback from the PAW homepage at paaw.us. This is Joe Cavelli on behalf of Patrick Ryan, Larry Knuth, Chris Anderson, and Dan Williams, and our guest Mark Fredrickson. Thank you very much for listening to today's program. This has been EMS Live in Wisconsin.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.